psychology of relationships. You said that your first feelings that you recall about being a lesbian were from really young, but do you recall when those first feelings were directed towards somebody, you know, where you had an awareness of sexuality? I guess, like, what I'm asking is, what is your first romantic relationship or your first sexual relationship? Are those the same or different?
Well, I wanted to do things sexually. You know, I felt... I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew there was something more than what I was doing, you know. It was like, you know, I don't want to play dolls, you know, I don't want to play husband and wife. I want to do what husbands and wives do, but I didn't know what it was, you know. And that was when I was, before I moved into the city, like, I only had two friends, because I lived in the country. I mean, you didn't see as many people. And there was a girl that lived down the street, her name was Andrea, and I had a terrible crush on her. And my best friend, Betty, and her name was Betty. And her, I was like, you know, I felt like I was in love with her. I mean, I said to myself that I loved her, you know, that I was in love with her, and that there was more things to do than what we were doing, but I didn't know what they were. And then we moved into the city, and when I was around 10 years old, well, I used to protect all the girls, you know, I used to come with protection from the boys, and I used to protect them all. And when I was 10, a friend of my mother's moved in on the street behind us, the next street over, mm-hmm. the house, like, directly behind our house, only across the street. And they had a daughter, and she's 6 months younger than I am. And we used to play house, like, all the time, and I was always the husband, and she was always the wife. And I would come home from work, and she would kiss me hello at the door, you know, and that was my first, like, physical type of thing. And it really wasn't a sexual thing. It was like, you know, like we just kissed, like we saw our parents kiss. And your parents don't usually be carried away in front of you. Mine didn't anyways, especially in those days. They get more carried away now than they ever did. So that, and like that was all through high school. I was, you know, from that point on, you know, when I played husband and wife with this little girl, Diane. And I knew there was more, you know, and I wanted to do that more stuff.
You were still doing that in high school?
No, not the husband and wife thing.
Okay.
That was when I was 10.
Okay.
Okay, and then from that point on, I had all those feelings, uh-huh. you know, and I had, there was more, you know. I mean, I wanted a physical contact, a physical yeah. relationship, and I had no idea what it was, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I'm not even sure I knew about homosexuality at that point. When we moved to the city, which was when I was 9, I turned 9 in March and moved to the city in April. My mother sat me down and explained to me the facts of life because she figured that, you know, we was in the city now and I was going to get in trouble if I wasn't careful. So she sat me down and explained A to Z, except she left out L for lesbian. You know, she never did anything. She never told me about that. I don't know if it just never occurred to her or what, but she just never told me about it. And I don't remember when I ever really found out. I guess it was in high school. I would imagine, I think I read The Well of Loneliness is what it was. I came across it somewhere or other because I can remember reading it under the covers at night with the flashlight, you know, and it must have been like my freshman year, maybe even eighth grade yet, because I was, you know, after that point, I would read whatever I wanted to read whenever I wanted to read it. But this was like a dirty book, you know, The Well of Loneliness. And I think that was when I maybe put a name on what I was feeling, or, you know, decided that this might be what it was. Then, I guess it was in about my sophomore year, probably, I became best friends. I already had a best friend, Leslie, and we took in this girl, Diane, this other Diane. And she was like, the three of us were always together, like Three Musketeers.
And I was so in love with her, I couldn't stand it.
Diane?
Yes, I was just madly, madly in love with her. I just adored her. And I wanted so much with her and didn't have any idea what it was. Like, she used to stay overnight at my house all the time, because when you're in high school, it's cool, you know. She would stay overnight at my house, and, you know, like it was very strange. She was very sexually mature, I think much more so than I was. And she used to cuddle me and all this stuff, and she would do it, like, she knew what she was doing, you know, because she used to play around with the boys all the time too, you know. I mean, she knew See, I wasn't even into going to being with guys at all. So I didn't really have any kind of conception of what sex was, the physical sex. Except what I read, which was, you know, mostly kind of weird anyways, and I didn't understand half of it. Whereas Diane had been, you know, she had been screwing around with guys, not going all the way yet, but she was only a, you know, sophomore. But she'd stay overnight and she would, you know, stick her little fanny up against me and wiggle it and tell me how cute I was and, you know, was there anything that she could do for me and stuff like that. And I would just like, oh my God, I don't know what to do, you know. And finally, this one night, she just sat up in bed and she took her pajamas off and she said, "You can do whatever you want." And I didn't know what to do. You know, and I just said, "Gee, that's nice, but, you know, I don't know what to do, so don't tell me I can do whatever I want because I don't know." And after that, I got very soured on her. I was put off by that whole experience because it was like she teased me for, I guess, like a year at least. She teased me just to the point where I was like, you know, a nervous wreck all the time because I wanted something and I had no idea what it was I wanted. And then, you know, she offered herself to me and I didn't know what to do and I was very frustrated, you know, with the whole situation. And then when I was 18, right after I turned 18, I met a woman in a bar. And it was a straight bar. And her name was Sandy. It was a straight bar and she came up to me in the bathroom and she put her arms around me and she kissed me. And I was just amazed. I was just, it was TJ's as a matter of fact. It's now Andy's. It's on Niagara Street. At the time it was TJ's. Mm-hmm. And she just came up to me in the bar, you know, in this bathroom. The bathroom was like a 2x4 bathroom. When you came out the stall, you killed the person that was at the sink if you were in the stall. And I was standing at the sink waiting, you know, for her to finish with, or no, I had been in the bathroom. I was in the stall. I came out and she was standing there by the sink and I came out real slow because I had heard somebody come in. And I closed the door real carefully after me and I turned and like when I turned I was right there on top of her practically because it was so small in the bathroom and she just put her arms around my neck and she kissed me and I just, you know, oh my God, what's happening? This is a straight bar. I don't know what's happening. And I pulled away from her and I said, you know, what is happening? I mean, I asked her what was going on.
Did you know her?
No, I had never even seen her before, you know. And she said, "I think you're the most attractive person, the most attractive woman I've ever met." And I just was going, "Oh my God." I mean, I was only 18. It was a straight bar. It was just really weird. And I said, "You do?" And she said, "Yes, I want you to take me home." And I said, "When?" And she said, "Now." And I said, "All right." So, you know, we left. I went out to Diane and Leslie and I said, "I'm taking this girl home. I'll see you guys later." And I left them. And they had no ride. I mean, I was driving. And I figured, you know, this is it. You know, this is it, the big chance. So I took her home. She lived on West. Yeah, West and Ferry. Just past Ferry on West Avenue. And no, she lived on Barton. In West. Barton and Ferry. And I took her home and we went in her house. And she had a round bed, I will never forget it, with satin sheets.
This is her own apartment?
Yes, no, this was her house. She owned the whole house. It was, uh-huh. It was a two-story, it was a double, two-family house.
Uh-huh.
She owned the house. She owned two or three houses in Pennsylvania, someplace in Pennsylvania. She had a country estate.
How old is she?
She, I would imagine, was probably around 22, 23, 24. Mm. Her parents were divorced. Her father was very well off and guilt-tripped all over the place and bought her these houses as, I don't know, instead of loving her, he bought her houses. You know, she had all these houses. I thought it was neat. But she took me in and she said, you know, "Do you want a drink?" And I said, "Oh, sure," you know. She said, "Make yourself a drink." She had a bar in the living room, you know, it was a Chaguindo bar. I mean, and you know, stools and everything. It was just, I mean, it was so out of my league. I mean, just really above anything I had ever pictured. And she said she was going to get more comfortable, which, you know, it was like a book. I mean, it really was. So I made a drink, and she was gone like this really long time. And then, like, I'm standing there with this drink, you know, slugging it away like a maniac because I'm a nervous wreck. And she calls to me from down the hall and says, "Bring me my drink," which I don't know what it was anymore. I don't remember. I thought I'd remember it the rest of my life. And I went down the hall and she was in this round bed with the canopy over the top. You know the beds that have just recently come out with the whole stereo thing in them and the canopy over it?
Yeah.
They've got the fuzzies.
Entertainment areas.
Yeah, she had one of those, and this is a long time ago. This is 13 years ago. No, 12 years ago that this was, and she had one of those.
This is 1966.
Right.
Okay.
Right, 66. She had one of those beds, like it had been specially made for her, custom-made bed, and it was round and it had satin sheets, and I'll never forget it. And she was there, stark as a jaybird, and I just walked in and went, oh my God, what do I do now? And she said, I'll show you. So we went to bed, and that was the first time I had sex with a woman. And it was...
Well, if you didn't know what to do, how did you get to do it?
I just let her do it.
Uh-huh.
And then after she did it, I said, okay, I learned. And then I started. And from that point on, I was a stone butch. I very rarely let anyone make love to me. I always did all the making love to, whatever. Uh-huh. Her and I broke up. She wanted to see me. And like all I wanted from that woman, and I admitted, all I wanted was to learn what to do, and find out what this was all about. I had had sex with a man by that time.
Oh.
I had been sexually involved with men, but it's all different. I mean, it's different.
when did you have sex with men for the first time?
I had a boyfriend named Jerry. I had met him when I was about 16 and a half or 17. He was my first big love, and on my 18th birthday, he took me out for my 18th birthday and got me extremely drunk and did it to me, and I was no longer a virgin. And I had no memory of it whatsoever because I was so drunk and sick, and all he did and did it anyways. And then we maintained a fairly regular sex life, Jerry and I did, but it was like the backseat of the car and that kind of garbage,
How was that? Good there?
It was good because I loved him, because I thought I was in love with him. I really cared about him a lot. I still had all these, these feelings, this homosexual thing, but Jerry was a nice guy, and he was real good looking, and he had a car, and all this other stuff. And I met him, like I say, I was in my senior year, or maybe the end of my junior year, I'm not even sure anymore. And it was a status symbol to have a boyfriend that had a car and wasn't in school, So I latched on to him, and he had a Plymouth Fury with that big back on, these big wings on it, real neat car. And I had a relationship with him, and I think I really did love him, but he did fuck me over real bad. And my mother still thinks that's part of why I'm gay, except that I was gay before that, I mean, the thing with Jerry was just kind of like, maybe I can be straight if I care enough about this guy and I won't have to be gay, because I really didn't want to be gay, at that point, it was like really not a good thing to do.
Okay.
And when I turned 18, before I met this woman, I had sex with a whole lot of different men. Like, once Jerry did it, and then he took off to California, the sweet little guy that he was, I decided that the best thing for me to do was just to go straight and not to worry about all these little strange feelings I had for women, because it really wasn't a good thing to do. So I had sex with a whole lot of different men. I mean, I went out, for 6 months. I would go to the straight bars and pick up men and just go out in the car and have sex with them, just so that I could have sex with men, so that I was normal,
Yeah.
And don't ask me how I didn't get pregnant, but I didn't. It was a miracle. I mean, I had sex with so many different guys. If I had gotten pregnant, it would have probably been quintuplets of all different fathers. But then I met this woman, and that was where it was at, I mean, I really realized that was what I want, not with her. I mean, she didn't give me, I didn't feel anything for her, in my head, It was a physical thing, just to find out what the physical thing was. And there was absolutely no emotional involvement or anything. And I did meet another guy that I thought I might be in love with, that I had real good sex with. But he was kind of weird and unstable, to say the least. And I was with him for a while, I don't even know how long. And he wanted to get married, and I said I would get married, in a while. And then I met this second Sandy in my life. Well, between the first Sandy and the second Sandy, there was a girl named Denise who died. And when I met the second Sandy, who was the third woman in my life, I fell in love. That was in love. Definite in love. That was like, it was a ton of bricks type of situation. I mean, I really fell in love with her, and...
What'd you mean?
She came to work where I work, and she was a key punch operator, just like me. And when they brought her in, like when she walked in the door, I looked at her and I was in love with her. It was like, I'm in love with this woman and I don't know what I'm going to do ever, but I'm in love with her. But she was straight and I would never have done anything about it, I don't think. I really don't think I would have done anything about it. But when I told her, like I'm a real open person. Like I tend to just blurt out my life story at the drop of a hat. You know, like it really doesn't take much to get me to, you know, tell you almost anything. And like she started work on a Thursday. And Friday night I told her everything about me, you know, everything there was to know about me, which included the two guys I had been with, all the men in between I had been with, the woman I had been with, and the fact that I was in love with her. And she just, you know, I mean, that's kind of a lot to lay on somebody you've only known for 24 hours, but, you know, I did. And she just kind of sat there going, oh, you know, like, isn't that amazing? And I was very, you know, like I told her she wanted to leave and, you know, she never wanted to see me and all this stuff. I was very down on myself. And I really felt bad for being in love with her because she was straight and I really felt bad because I didn't want to put her... It, you know, I didn't want her to compromise herself or, you know, to do anything that she didn't want to do. And we saw each other for about like 3 weeks, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks. And I was just so in love with her. I just didn't know what I was going to do because I just loved her so much. And I wanted to be with her like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there was nothing else that could make me as happy as she did, you know. And she was straight. And I just kept saying, you know, like, this woman is straight. You can't do anything about it, you know. But then we went out one night, and I don't know what happened, but on the way home, she decided she wasn't straight anymore, and that she loved me too. And so we were together for about a year. But she really is straight, I think. I hope. I still know her, you know, we're very, very, very good friends, close friends. And we had an affair again, which was a lot better than the first time. The first time, that was very in the closet. And very, if my parents find out, I'll die. You know, and she would have, I mean, she had a sister that was a nun. I mean, her family was, you know, jailed Catholics, and homosexuality is not advocated in the Bible. And actually bugs about it in some way. But after we broke up, I wasn't with anybody for like 2 years. Because I was just wiped out, totally desolate over that situation.
Why'd you break up?
Oh, I think... Well, see, I think we broke up because she's straight. She could not handle being a lesbian. She could never have come out... she could never handle the situation of being homosexual in today's society. I mean, because it's not accepted. It's not the thing to do. And Sandy is pretty much conventional, you know, conservative. You know, she got married and she has 2.3 children and, you know, two cars, one's a station wagon, and, you know, a double house, and they're saving money for their single in the country. I was attacked by a cat hair. And, you know, the reason that at the time that it came down the way it came down was because she wanted to have kids, and I knew I could never do anything about that. And she is, you know, I mean, at the time I felt she would be, and she has turned out to be such a good mother. I mean, it would have been a shame not to let her be a mother, and I could never have made her a mother. You know, I couldn't have done that for her. So it was like, you know, I guess I just kind of said, okay, you know, I love this person and I want her to be completely happy instead of just like three quarters. I mean, she was as happy with me as she could be without being able to have kids. And I knew that someday, eventually, it would be like real big between us. So it ended when it ended, and then she met the guy that she finally married. And I was still in love with her, you know, all that whole time. I mean, we still saw each other and went out with each other and stuff, but we didn't have any physical contact, and like we slipped a couple times, but you know, for the most part it was like, you know, never touch me. And then she got married, and I mean, I thought I was going to commit suicide the day of her wedding. But, you know, like, I live. You always live, whether you want to or not. And it was a good year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, that I, before I got into any other relationships, because I really got burned. I mean, I was really, like, I just felt like if you care that much about somebody, they shouldn't have to go away. You know, it just didn't seem right that she had to go away like that. But then I met somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, somebody else. I mean, you always keep going, you know, for the most part.
What was your next relationship like?
The next relationship that I got into was very S&M, emotional S&M. The woman was a taker, and I was a giver. It wasn't S&M physically, you know, sadistic, but...
Was it chaotic?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very much, she took everything that there was to take, and she gave very little back, as little as she had to give back. Which at the time, I guess maybe I was punishing myself for something, I don't know what, for not being enough to hang on to Sandy or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
There was probably a whole big long fucked up thing in there that I could, you know, if I wanted to, maybe I could figure it out, but, you know, long gone. But the relationship with Kathy was very...
Now this is a Kathy that's different from the one you're with now.
This
yeah.
is a whole different Kathy. That was very S&M as far as in my head. Yeah. I mean, like, as much as she would punish me, I would just go back for more. You know, I would just keep going back and saying, hurt me, and she did, you know, a lot. But she's the one that brought me out to the bar. She is the one that took me to the villa and said, this is what a gay bar is like. And I said, how neat. And it was rather nice of her, considering she was on the verge of breaking up with me. And, you know, I would have had a hard time finding another lover if it hadn't been, you know, for knowing where the bars were then.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't remember. See, after Kathy, I didn't get into any great big loves, you know. Like, I was with a lot of women who I love, you know, but no...
yeah.
You know, like I had been with Sandy. And I don't think I will ever love anybody the way I love Sandy. The closest I came to it was when Sandy and I had our second affair, you know. I was in love with her again, you know, sort of like I had been the first time, only this time it was understood that her husband and children came first.
Yeah.
And it was understood that it would end. And it would be in the closet. And it wasn't important. It was important, but it wasn't like the end all and do all and be all of my life at that time. When it ended very mutually. It didn't end. I mean, neither one of us said, well, this is the last time we're going to see each other. We just didn't see each other anymore. She came over, and that was the last night that she was there, and we both knew that this was going to be it. And nothing was ever spoken or anything like that. It was just kind of like it came to a close, and it was very good, and it was very, you know, pleasant.
Were you seeing someone more openly at that time?
I was kind of in between.
Between that first Kathy and the next lover?
No, I'm trying to think. I think I was between Linda and you. Yeah, because it was when I lived on Linwood, and it was when I first met you. Because I moved from Linwood to you, right? When my lease expired at Linwood, I moved in with you on College Street. Didn't I?
Yeah. I'm not sure that we moved all the furniture. It's hard for me to remember. It seems to me like we stayed together on College Street and lived together in Potomac.
Yeah.
Now that's 1971.
Right?
Uh-huh.
This was, see, all of these, like I was with, when I moved out to Linwood Avenue, that was the first time I moved out of my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I moved was because I was with this woman that I had met that summer, Sue. And
right,
she left
yeah.
her husband.
Yeah.
and said, you know, now you have to take care of me because I just left my husband, so now you have to take care of me. So, which was not exactly what I had planned, mm-hmm. but that was how it worked out. That was also the same year that my mother had a breakdown.
Yeah.
That was in September. My mother had her breakdown and went to the hospital on the same day that Sue called me up and said, I just left Dick. I mean, talk about many different directions at once. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I mean, it was like, oh my God. My mother needed me, and this woman needed me, and it was disastrous, but it all worked itself out, sort of.
It seemed to me that you had told me the story about that conflict, about your mother needing you and Sue needing you at the same time, and was there something really special about where you should go at that time, and how you felt about it? I can't remember.
Well, it was... Because I was so close to my mother, it was very hard for me to decide. Like I felt like I should be with my mother because my mother was having a nervous breakdown. My father was taken there to be hospitalized in the tubes, and Sue was also needing me. You know, like both of those people needed me a lot, and I didn't. It was like, I should stay with my mother because she's my mother. But I owe my lover because my mother's not going to be there forever, you know. And of course, at the time I was with Sue, this was my last relationship, and this was the person I was going to be with. I mean, every one of them is the one you're going to be with the rest of your life, you know. So I was real fucked up over it, and I did leave and go to Sue, who was at a mutual friend's house, and I went to her and told her, you know, that my mother was Looney Tunes, and I had to go and do something about my mother. And then I moved out while my mother was in Linwood Bryant, was when I moved out. It was really neat that she was in Linwood Bryant because I got to take a lot of pots and pans and stuff. Because my father just said, oh, take anything you need. So I did. I cleaned out. My mother came back to nothing. No, didn't take that much. But it was that whole period of my life.
Yeah, it seemed to me that was very, very important.
It was, the whole thing was, mm-hmm. yeah, it was very bad news. It was. My loyalties were like, I didn't know what to do because my mother needed me and my lover needed me. And Sue and I lasted, I think, like 2 months living together. And then she went back to her husband. And I started seeing this girl from Toronto. And also Sandy sort of started up again at that time. Sandy was coming over during the week and this girl, I was seeing her on the weekends. Oh my God, I was such a bad little kid.
How did you feel about that in terms of your feelings about monogamy and relationships?
Oh, it was very hard for me because I was very into being faithful. I mean, yeah. I could not cheat. I just felt that I would never be. Up to that point, I had never cheated. And I was going with Lynn, but she lived in Toronto and I didn't see her all week long. And Sandy would come over after work and, you know, she worked like second shift, and she'd come over after work and stay at my house until 4 or 5 in the morning and then scoot home and tell Walter she was working overtime. And Walter, of course, never suspected a thing because he was a man and I was only a woman, so there could never possibly be any kind of relationship there. And I was sort of cheating, but I sort of wasn't because it was only Sandy. I mean, you know. It was Sandy, and
Sandy
it made
held
it
a different place.
Yeah,
in my life.
And it was a different thing. And besides, Lynn was gone all week, so what was I supposed to do all week? You know. And the thing with Sandy was like there was a physical relationship, but the majority of it, the reason for the relationship was for the emotional part. Sandy was not getting what she needed from Walter, and I was supplying what she wasn't getting, which was tenderness and talking to her, communications and. Making her feel like she was somebody very, very special because she was to me and she probably is to Walter too, but Walter just doesn't know how to make her feel that way, or didn't at the time, and unfortunately still doesn't. The reason that it happened was time and place. Like she started working at my place again and it just kind of all came together again, and she needed to have somebody that could make her feel like she was really, really special and beautiful and important. And I did that for her, so I kept her married life together, in a way, because You know, she didn't have to leave Walter to go look for another man. You know, she had me.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, I don't know. I was being used to a certain point, but it was all right because I knew it, you know. So it was all right with me because I knew I was being used, and I knew why, and it was all right because it was what I wanted, because it made it better for her, and it was important that it be good for her, you know, that life be good for her. And, you know, doing what I did made it, sort of, at that point, or something. It's very weird. Sometimes, like, I never resented it because I had my own life that I was living, you know. I mean, I was with this girl in Toronto. Yeah, on the weekends. And, I don't know. I guess I didn't resent it because I knew it. I mean, it wasn't like Sandy was promising to marry me or promising to leave her husband or leave her kids. It was always, I always knew that if she was on the way to my house and something happened to her husband or her child, she would just go right to them. And that I could be, you know, I had just slashed my wrists, and if it wasn't possible for her to leave Walter without him knowing anything was going on, she wouldn't have left him. And I knew that, you know, and I accepted it, you know, because that's how it was. I accepted it, and so that made it okay with me, because I accepted it, because I knew it. If I hadn't known it, if I had been under the impression that she was going to leave him momentarily to be with me, then it wouldn't have been all right. But the fact that I knew she would never leave him made it all right. And then...
Did you ever get feelings that you wanted her to belong to you instead?
I've always felt that. I mean, I still feel that today. I mean, I'm so happy with Kathy. I mean, I have found a whole lot of satisfaction and contentment in my life over this past 9 months since I met Kathy in January. I have been very, very pleased with everything. You know, I'm not the least bit unhappy with you know, I mean, the things I'm unhappy with are work and shit like that. Mm-hmm. With Kathy and my relationship and living together, I'm thrilled to death with it, and I'm pleased out of my brains. And I still want Sandy. I mean, I will always want Sandy to have been with me. I mean, it doesn't hit her. The thing with the feeling that I have for Sandy has nothing to do with anybody else in the world. It doesn't take away or give to any other feeling that I have. Sandy is Sandy, and if it could have been the way I wanted it to be, I would to this day be with Sandy. She would have been the first person and the last person in my life, and I would always have been with her. And, you know, I'm not unhappy now, you know, and that's not just a feeling that I only feel when I'm not with anybody or when I'm with somebody I don't like too much, but I'm hanging around because I don't have a bill to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm, you know, I mean, the relationship I'm in now with Kathy, I mean, you know, it's the end all and do all and be all. This is it. I don't plan on having other relationships. I mean, I really would like to stay with Kathy the rest of my life, and I haven't felt like this about anybody. It hasn't been that long since I have felt like this, but the last time I felt like this, it was very bad. And the whole thing was very bad. So I didn't expect to feel this kind of permanency for a long time. And I do feel it, you know, and I'm real happy about it. I'm not scared or anything. After Sandy and I kind of drifted apart and all that, and then I was with you for 6 months. 8 months, 5 months, 2 months, 100 years, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, it stretches and shrinks.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. I was happy with you. All my relationships have always been happy. You know, I've never really been in a relationship I didn't want to be in. There was a time in our relationship, your and my relationship, that I, like, towards the end of it, like, when I felt like it was over and I didn't know how to do it, you know, that was bad. I was very unhappy about that, because I've always cared about you. I mean, I always loved you, and, you know, I always thought you were a real neat person and everything, and I always thought it was real neat that you wanted me. That I was used to turn me on because you were a star, you know. Jesus. I always thought that was cool.
Let me keep you warm at night.
Well, you know, that used to turn me on a lot. I used to think that was just so cool, you know, because you looked at me and that made me really something hot. You know, but, then that relationship.
It was hard. It was a very hard breakup. I mean, we could both put in our two cents about that one. Because for me, you were a very important life-saving force because you came after a 3.5-year relationship that absolutely exploded in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And you saved my life. I mean, I was really ready to go overboard. And so the breakup, I mean, it was losing my raft, you know, losing my oxygen tank for you to go. But by that time, I had some survival mechanisms built in.
Mm-hmm.
So although it was all breakups are terribly painful, it wasn't a suicidal one,
yeah.
You know. But in any case, you then got yourself involved in a fairly long-term relationship.
Yep.
Yep.
That was, well, there was a little bit of diddly hopping around there with Toby for a while. That was very strange. That's when we were having all those problems. And I have, like, ever since I had met Toby, I had been attracted to her. And was just
now, Toby is a good friend.
Yes.
In a couple that has been good friends.
Right. I've always, ever since I met Lynn and Toby, I was attracted to Toby and always was waiting for my chance. And when it finally came, it wasn't really all it was cracked up to be, you know. And besides which, they never really broke up. I don't think they'll ever break up unless one of them dies.
Now there you were on the other end of a non-monogamy situation. Or, you know, a temporarily non-monogamous situation. How did you feel being the other woman?
Well, I wasn't really, I didn't have a sexual relationship with Toby. We went out and we talked a lot and we were together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When we finally did have the sexual part of it, she was not going with Lynn. They were still living together.
Oh.
But they supposedly had reached an agreement where they were not lovers anymore.
I see.
They were just living together.
Mm-hmm.
And so Toby and I finally did it once or twice, which was, you know, very relieving. But then she told Lynn, which I thought was very wrong of her to tell Lynn, because I was supposed to be Lynn's good friend too.
Yeah.
And Lynn, you know, like Toby told me that they were not official anymore. And Lynn, I guess, didn't know that or felt that even if they weren't, I still should have, you know, kept my distance, and I didn't, you know, and that was a bad time. I mean, she called me a lot of names. We had one, there was a big blow up at her house one night, and, you know, and I didn't even know that Lynn had told, or that Toby had told Lynn, which made it a bummer trip, too. And, but then that smoothed itself out, and I met Gypsy, and
it was hard to put into words.
yeah. She's probably the closest I felt to somebody since I had felt the most I felt same as I felt towards Sandy was with Gypsy. I felt a lot of permanency with her. I wanted to be with her for a real long time. And that lasted a long time, that feeling. I mean, that feeling lasted until last year, you know. Like, I was with Gypsy, but I guess I must have been with her for 3 years, on and off. Well, the first year, I met her in 74, right? Because we broke up in, like, 74, September, October, something like that, or 74, or mm-hmm. August, in the summer of 74. Wasn't it 74?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met Gypsy before you and I broke up. I mean, I had met her previous to that. And it was really strange because when I met her in the shadows and that, I thought she was attractive and that was it. I never felt anything. And usually I get a, like there's a little, even if I'm with somebody, you know, and I meet somebody that I think that there would be a possibility of having a relationship with, I feel it right away. And I didn't with Gypsy. It never crossed my mind. I just thought she was really attractive. And Lynn and Toby built her up to be, like, you know, really a together person and just so neat and swift and cool and all this other stuff. And then you and I broke up, and we continued to live together for that little while.
For about 2 months.
And I was sort of seeing her and sort of not seeing her. I don't know. That was when Lynn and Toby started having all those problems, and it was really racking me up that they were having so much trouble. Mm-hmm. And I know the one night I went to the villa because I was all torn up. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was really a wreck about Lynn and Toby. And I went to the villa, and Gypsy was there. And she invited me to her house for coffee. And I went to her house for coffee, and that's what I did. I had coffee, and I left. Mm-hmm. And she was inviting me home to bed, but I didn't know that. You know, I was just so innocent. And I saw her. Like, I was seeing her for quite a long time before I actually went to bed with her. I'd stay at her house, and I'd sleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. She was starting to take more baths and buy mouthwash and stuff. She couldn't imagine what was wrong. And then we finally got it together, and you know, I went to Plump and fell in love with her, and moved into Lynn and Toby's apartment. Then I moved home, and then she moved home. That was when things started getting a little bit raunchy between us, when she moved home, because we didn't have any place to go. Like, I was always uncomfortable. Her parents knew everything, but I always felt like, because I'm the kind of person that likes to run around with no clothes on and, you know, just be relaxed. And I mean, all we had was her bedroom at her house with her parents, you know, out in the next room. And, you know, I can get into sex a whole lot. And, you know, with her parents down the hall, it's just kind of strange. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my mother, when I moved back home, my mother accepted the fact that I was gay, but she would not allow me to have any women, you know, at the house overnight because I had no daughter. Mm-hmm. It was so innocent. And so I couldn't take Gypsy home with me to my house, and motels were out of the question because she was very much in the closet. The relationship with Gypsy was the first year, I guess, maybe not even a full year, was good. It was very good, and it was too bad when it started to go downhill. And when it did start to go downhill, like, neither one of us could stop it. It was like it snowballed. Gypsy is a very private person. She's very within herself. She's not given to displays of affection. I mean, positively nothing in public, and not too much in private either. And she made me feel extremely insecure. I never knew if she really, you know, cared about me or if she was leaving in the next 5 minutes, and I lived off of it. I mean, I just ate it up because I was in agony all the time. I was still into my self-punishment, I guess. I didn't know if she really cared about me or not, and I got off on that. And I think I've noticed there's been a lot of people, not a lot, but quite a number of women that I have talked to or that I've known that have been in that kind of relationship, and where, you know, like you know this person really isn't any good for you, but you just kind of stay with it because it's better than nothing, or because it makes you feel something as opposed to not feeling anything. Or another theory I came up with is that because you're gay, you figure that you really don't deserve to have a whole lot.
Do you think a lot of women feel that way?
I don't know about other people, but it crossed my mind about myself that maybe way down deep underneath, I am a little bit ashamed of the fact that I'm a lesbian. And so therefore, when I'm into this relationship, as I was in with Gypsy, where it was like constantly back and forth, up and down, never knowing where I stood, I think I felt like I kind of deserved to feel that way. You know, that okay, it was alright to be with somebody and to love. It was alright for me to love somebody, but that person shouldn't love me back. That I just wasn't quite deserving of that because it was a homosexual relationship as opposed to a heterosexual relationship. I would never say that I was ashamed of being gay. I always tell people I am. You know, if somebody asks me, I tell them I am. I would fight for it. You know, I mean, I would do a whole lot, you know, to help the gay cause, whatever it might be, and stuff like that. But sometimes I think that maybe way down deep, it's like, you know, like I maybe shouldn't be allowed to be happy because I'm gay, and that's not, you know,
So you have both of those feelings at the same time.
Yeah.
It's okay and it's not okay together.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. And like now, the relationship I'm with Kathy, I mean, I'm really happy with her. And it's lasted, like, it's going to be 10 months next week that we've been going together, which is, I mean, for me, after Gypsy and I finally, well, the whole last year that we were together, we were breaking up and back together, it was a lot of shit, constant, just agony all the time, and it wasn't even good agony anymore, it was even bad agony, you know, like, it was just terrible, it was absolutely horrible, we were just killing each other, destroying each other inch by inch. And once we finally ended it, it was a matter of me getting my shit together and saying, this is it, we're done. And once I said that, then Gypsy did a complete turnabout and decided that she adored me to death.